The Lord be with you.
And with
you, sir. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. So let me start you off with a little story here this morning. It was told to me recently by a seminary professor, a story about Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Now, let's admit something right off the bat, and that is that time flies. The years roll by, and you don't even know where they've gone. And as I mentioned Mother Teresa of Calcutta, I'm fully aware that there is many, many people here in the church, even here this morning, who have no lived memory of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She died in 1997. It's getting to be a long time ago. So a little bit of personal reflection now from one who lived through many of the years of her life. Mother Teresa was unlike anybody else in the entire world, really. She was unique. She was a woman of such obvious holiness that she was universally regarded as a living saint. And not just by the Catholics. Even the secular press called her a living saint. Even non-Christian religions around the world. She was arrestingly, disarmingly not of this world. Nobody ever met Mother Teresa of Calcutta and forgot it. It was unforgettable, like nobody else you've ever seen in your life. Like I said, universally regarded as a living saint. Or maybe it'd be a little bit more accurate to say almost universally regarded as a living saint. Because the world's a big place, and there's all kinds of people out there, including no shortage of cynics and skeptics who wanted to debunk Mother Teresa. And that's where this story comes from that I heard. The story is about a news reporter who flew to India to blow the lid off Mother Teresa of Calcutta. He wanted to write a story to show the whole world that she was nothing but a selfish fraud, just like everybody else. So he shows up in Calcutta and he starts asking, probing questions. Who is this Mother Teresa? How much money is flowing into this town? Where's that money coming from? What's her angle? What's she trying to achieve? And he meets Mother Teresa. And he says, "What are you trying to do? What's your angle? What's your interest? Are you looking for fame? Are you looking for renown? Are you trying to leverage your fame to move the pace of the national government? I want you to answer me this question. Why do you do the things that you do?" And she answered him and she said, "I will tell you. But first, come and help me." And they both walk out into the street where they find a man lying in the gutter, slowly dying from his wounds. And she says, "Help me." So they pick up the man, they bring him back into the home for dying destitutes. And Mother Teresa says to the reporter, "This man will die with dignity. We must clean him first." And she wets up a cloth, hands it to the man, she says, "Clean him up, I will be right back," you know, because he was covered with grime and dirt and heaven knows what else. And she walks out of the room. And while the reporter is washing the man with a wet cloth, by his own admission, something happened. The dying man looked at the reporter. The reporter looked back. And by his own admission, the man's face changed right before his eyes. His face became the face of Jesus Christ, who looked him in the eye and said, "Thank you." His face changed back. And Mother Teresa walked back into the room, and there was the news reporter, quivering, shaking, tears coming down his eyes. And she looked at him and she said, "Something happened. You saw something. You saw him, didn't you? And now you know why I do what I do." Because if you ask Mother Teresa of Calcutta, she would have been the first one to tell you, "I'm not a social worker. I serve Jesus Christ who I see in these people." And the reason why I tell you this is because whether we're talking about Mother Teresa or any of the saints, could be St. Francis of Assisi or our very own St. Therese or St. Ambrose or St. Augustine, any of them, all the saints had one thing in common. They were all absolutely spectacularly unique. Every saint became who God made them to be with a uniqueness that'll never be repeated, but all the saints had one thing in common. They had a focal point. The focal point of their entire lives was to gaze upon the face of Jesus Christ. That's why they did the great things that they did. Now understand, it was all grace, right? God flowing through a soul who shows him no resistance can show beauty to the world in a way that no man can do by his own strength alone. But they cooperated. That's what we want to do. The way they cooperated, they made the focal point of their life to look upon the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I mention this because on the fourth Sunday of Easter, that's what we celebrate today, it's a day that's informally known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And that's because every year in the Gospel, we hear this most beautiful and most beloved of all metaphors for Christ our Lord, Christ the Good Shepherd. And today you hear Jesus say, "My sheep hear my voice." And this is a question that I ask you to take home with you today and to think about. Do you hear Christ's voice? There's a million contradictory voices in this world, clamoring, cacophonous, all begging for your attention. What voice are you listening to? What is your focal point? Are you aware that everybody lives their life by a focal point? And I mean everybody. You see, the human person is fundamentally religious. And you'll get secularists who say, "Oh, I'm not religious." You get atheists and agnostics who say, "I don't believe in anything, I'm not religious." These people don't know themselves, because you want to know something, and go ahead and test this, right? Think about this and meditate on this. And you'll realize everyone lives their life by a focal point. No matter who they are, there's one thing in their life that is more important than anything else. It's their focal point. And that focal point is, in fact, what you worship. Because the word worship is nothing but the amalgamation of the words worth and ship. Whatever it is in your life that's of the greatest value, your focal point, that's what you worship. And if it's not the real God, it is a cheap imitation, and it's hurting you. It's hurting you and hurting many other people as well. Some people live their life by the focal point of money, money, money. I want more, more, more. Other people want prestige and attention, and they want to be popular, and they want the esteem of others. Some people, they just want comfort and ease. Some people have been so wounded in their life. Perhaps once upon a time they were idealists, but now they've become twisted cynics, and their focal point of their life is tearing down and hurting and destroying other people. You've seen it. A lot of people out there in this world, their focal point of their life is the news. You know, I think I mentioned this before, but that I once tried to become a monk. I like to say, I tried to become a monk, but I flunked. So here I am, right? But in the monastery, the prior of the monastery would not let us read the news. He printed a summary of the news for everybody to read, and they asked him, "Why won't you let us read the news?" And he says, "Because it is vexatious to the spirit." Now, I mention this because it's so very, very common. It's good to be informed, but you know, there comes a point in which you have to ask yourself, if I'm constantly walking away from this filled with bitterness, anger, and resentment, is this doing me any good? I got news for you. It's not bringing you any closer to God. Whose voice are you listening to? What's your focal point? Is it the Lord? Maybe it's partly the Lord. Maybe you'd like it to be even more the Lord. If you want the focal point of your life to be like that of the saints, I got three things I can share with you this morning that can help you do that. You ready? Here's the first. Take whatever it is that you think is the focal point of your life. That which gets you out of bed in the morning, motivates you throughout the day, that which you think about all the time and you're in the freedom of your thought, your focal point. Take whatever it is that's a focal point of your life and give it what I like to call the deathbed test. Pretend like you've got 3 months to live. Go ahead, fill out all the details. Imagine the scene in your mind. What would you say? What would you do? You got 3 months left to live. Now, from that point of view, how important is your focal point, right? What does it really matter? Because there's something about death that is remarkably powerful in clarifying the difference between the things that matter and the things that never did. Go ahead and think about that. And the Lord will become your focal point. Second is this. I've said this before, it's very important. Practice the presence of God. And I call it practice because it doesn't come naturally. You have to work at it. I ask people, you know, do you pray? They say, well, you know, every once in a while. Maybe in the morning, maybe in the evening. Why not 1,000 times a day? Why not talk to the Lord all day long? He's present to you all day long. Are you present to Him? Do you realize that? He's present in your joys. He's present in your sorrows. He's present when things are going well. He's present when things are going badly. He's present when you're depressed. At work, at rest, no matter where it is, be present to Him as well. And you know what's going to happen? You'll change. It'll lead you to prayer. It'll lead you to the sacraments. It'll lead you to repentance. It'll lead you to confession. It'll lead you to listen to the voice of the Lord. It'll become the focal point of your life. And here's the third thing. Persevere, persevere, persevere. People get discouraged because they try and they fail. One of my favorite statements comes from Padre Pio, St. Pio Pietrelcina. He said, hate your faults, but hate them calmly. Don't be surprised. You fall 1,000 times. You're only made of dust and ashes, right? You're peanut brittle. You're a soap bubble in the wind. That's what human beings are. We're weak. You fall 1,000 times. Get up 1,000 times. Do not quit, because this is something that's very encouraging to remember. The grace of perseverance and the grace of salvation are the same grace. If you don't quit, you'll make it. And the Lord will be your shepherd. And you'll listen to His voice. One of my favorite lines from the scriptures comes from Psalm 34. It says, look to the Lord that you might be radiant with joy. You think about that. And you ask the question, am I radiant with joy? Would those words ever describe me? And if the answer is no, stop and ask, well, then what am I looking at? What's my focal point? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And like the saints, we want to listen too. That's why I'm so fond of saying, if today you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.